Our gospel this morning comes from the second chapter of the gospel according to Matthew, beginning with the first verse. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. So this day is the second Sunday of Christmas. Now we're celebrating Epiphany this day. The readings that we have come from Epiphany, which is actually this coming Thursday, the 6th. We're not trying to rush by Christmas. We're not trying to get you to pack everything away and put behind you the joy of Christmas. Not at all. But we thought these texts on this first Sunday of the new church year might be great texts for us to engage together. And so we will. I want you, for just a moment or two, to step away from the texts, though. To go to a different time of the year, to the end of summer, when the days are a little bit shorter, but it is still nice and warm. The time in the year when the days by 9 o'clock are dark, and you might want to slip out to the patio or to your deck to just sit for a bit. At our house, when that happens, there's often a phrase that goes with it. "Shut the patio door quick before the bugs get in here." You ever hear that at your house? The millers and moths and other flying things come bobbing and weaving at you, drawn mysteriously and magically to that light, either in the kitchen or the dining room, wanting to find their way to the light. That's Epiphany. It is being drawn into this light, the light of Christ. The season of Epiphany you might think of as the aha time, when all of a sudden it hits us who this light of Christ is, who this child is. It was a light that drew wise men from afar. As I've been reading through these Epiphany texts, what strikes me is there was no invitation. There was no letter that went out to the wise men saying, "Hey, come here and see." Not at all. For whatever reason, they were drawn by that star and they followed it. They followed it for a good long time. We don't know exactly how long, but they followed it for a good long time. Took a little stop to talk with King Herod and then found their way to Bethlehem. Following a star. They just
came. And when they got there, they laid in front of this baby what they had: gold, frankincense, myrrh. The texts from Isaiah are similar. No invitation is given, but the text tells us that the nations will come to Jerusalem. They will be drawn. Now, we've talked about Isaiah before. The beginning chapters of Isaiah speak about a time when Jerusalem will fall to a foreign power. And God speaks God's word of judgment. Basically, the people have not been faithful. And then you get into the middle chapters after the fall has happened, and there is promise that someday restoration will come. And now, as we get to the end of Isaiah, we're in chapter 60. That's what Brenda read from today. There are 66 chapters in all in Isaiah. In chapter 60, you have this word of promise that when restoration happens, there will be grandeur once again. And the nations will come. Hear the first verse from the 60th chapter. Arise, shine, your light has come. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. No invitation. They will just be drawn to the light. So here we are. In the beginning of the year 2022, gathered as just a bit of the body of Christ here this morning, known as Trinity Lutheran. We're not the entire body, right? I mean, we understand that. The body of Christ stretches across the entire globe, across time and space. The body of Christ is made up of people like us and people not like us. People that don't speak English, people who have different skin colors, people who are all sorts of different denominations. That's the body of Christ, and we're just a speck of it. But in the beginning of 2022, we, brothers and sisters, a small part of the body of Christ, I've got a question for you. Do you think that people are drawn to the light of Christ through our ministry here? And that's a serious question. I'm not asking that question in hopes that everyone will jump up and say yes. Absolutely. Because the second question comes with it, and that is, if you would say yes, what is it that's happening here that is drawing people to Christ? I would love it if you would mull that question, chew on it a bit, drop me an email to tell me what you think is happening here, either yes or no. And it is all right to say no. And if you do, then what do you believe God is calling us to? What should we be? Let me be really clear about something as well. We are not the light of Christ. No church is the light of Christ. The best that we can say that we are is, when things are right, we are a reflection of Christ. That's what we're called to be. We are called to be ones who receive the light and allow it to bounce off of us so that others might see Christ's grace, love, and mercy, and that it is most certainly for them. As we think about this year, we need to remember that everything around us has changed dramatically. In the last 2 years, it has been as if our world has been turned upside down. In just a couple of months, it will be 2 years since I've been here. And in the midst of any change in leadership, that means some things do change. Sometimes for the good, sometimes some people would say not for the good. That's just the honest truth. But beyond a new leader, Then 3 weeks into my being here, this little thing called COVID visits the world. And do you remember at the beginning? We gathered here and there were only 10 people that were allowed to be in the sanctuary. Just 10. And in the very beginning, we didn't do a 10:30 worship service at all. We only did 8:30. Why? Because we didn't have the live streaming capabilities at that time. So the 10 of us could have gotten together and worshiped, but no one would have been able to see it and hear it except those that were the 10 that were sitting here. But thanks to a gift from the trust fund, within about 6 weeks, we were up live streaming all of our worship services. Still, only 10 people could be here. And then as spring came, do you remember? And it got warm enough, we were able to move outside and we rediscovered the Peace Chapel. The gift of being able to worship outside in the midst of the community. And it's been fun to continue to do that, because part of what that kind of worship is a public witness to a community where there are lots of people who do not have a church home. That's the truth. And there are plenty of people in our community who really have never had much of a connection to a church, and some of them, the only connection that they've had is that they have been judged and found wanting. And so what would it look like to be able to invite people to come to a place and a space where everyone is welcomed to experience the light of Christ and God's grace and mercy and fullness? So to worship outside is to be able to show people that we're really not that strange. We just get together, we sing, we pray a little bit. Sometimes a preacher talks, sometimes too long. But we come. Those of us who come to worship often don't, I think, appreciate the fact that for a lot of people, walking through church doors is hard. It is really hard. You could consider it like this. Remember all of the medieval castles that you've seen in any of the great fairy tale books with their moat around it? For some people, it would be easier to crawl over the walls of a castle beyond the moat than to walk through the doors of a church. Not because they don't believe in God, but because of experiences that they've had in the past, or the media, which shows churches to be nothing but judgmental, putting people in their place. That's not our call. So as we think about this year ahead and we think about all of these changes that have happened, there's a couple of things that I want to invite you to do. So whether you think that the light of Christ is reflected through us or you think it doesn't, I would ask you, first of all, to pray for this congregation. So in your prayer life, not only be praying for the country and the world and all that's going on here, not only be praying for friends and family who are sick or in need, but that you would pray for this place. That we would be a reflection of Christ's light. That Christ would open our eyes through the power of the Holy Spirit and our ears to follow Christ's leading. That we would be gift to our community, our neighborhood, that we would see the opportunity to serve others, and we would be shaken and stirred and pushed out to care. The second thing that I'd ask you to do, if you're not involved in a Bible study already, that you would join one. So Heather has different connect groups that are going on already. Choose one of those. Some people are afraid to enter into a Bible study because they feel that they don't know enough. And honestly, what research shows is they don't want to look silly. I'm starting a Bible study next Sunday between the two worship services. And we'll start about 9:35, 9:40. We're going to use the Lutheran Study Bible. Because of a grant from our trust, we've been able to purchase 45 of these. I don't want you to bring your own Bible. Because if we're all working out of the same Bible, then someone doesn't have to feel silly that they don't know how to get to 2 Timothy. Right? We can work out of the same Bible. We can get together. We can talk about what Scripture has to say. Come. Check it out. Here's my promise. I won't do anything to make you feel less than or silly. Come. There is no question that is off, out of bounds or unaskable. Come. Have some coffee. Sit together. Grow deeper in your faith. If you're the kind of person, though, that really likes to be able to sit alone, then I invite you, if you haven't grabbed one of these, we had them out on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, grab one of these. So this is a little book called Daily Texts. For each day, there are two verses to read, just two verses and a short prayer. You can do that for a morning devotion. And there is a text like that for every day throughout the year. If you want to do a little more, this comes with it, a piece called Ground Up Grace, a little podcast, 10 to 14 minutes long, where Pastor Johann Hinderle and his wife Sonia have a conversation about those two texts. Listen to what they have to say if you're into podcasting. It's also got a little prayer card where you can use those texts of the day to walk through TRIP. T stands for thanks. So in these texts, what jumps to your mind for thankfulness? In these texts, what do you regret? So what would you ask forgiveness for? What are the intercessions? That's the I. What are the prayer that rise up in your heart out of these two brief texts? And now, as you've had thanksgiving and regret and prayer, what do you believe God is calling you to the day? What is your purpose? What's God calling you to? Brothers and sisters in Christ, the last thing that I would ask you to do, if you believe that the light of Christ is shining through this place, I would invite you to invite others. So there's great music going on here, but don't invite them to come and listen to the music. And we have great Bible study going on, but don't invite others for the Bible study. What I would rather have you invite people to, invite them in a sense of saying, something's going on here for me. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know how or why, but come and see. The Spirit is up to something. Invite them to come and connect with the risen Christ. Go back to the text and think about it. There's no pressure on you. I don't want you to feel any pressure. All you need to do is talk about what's happening in your life because of the way you're encountering Christ. The invitation, the work, is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not yours. There's no pressure on you. Just invite. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in 2022, let us be a reflection of the Epiphany light. Let us be the people that draw the moths and the millers and the other flying things magically into Christ's presence. May it be so.